morning, if you will, let's go please to the book of Acts, chapter number 23. Acts chapter 23. It's good to see each of you here this morning. Brother Joe got called out this morning to because a pole went down. I don't know whether it went down with the help of a vehicle or what, but it went down. And so Brother Joe's working on that, and yet was in contact with us several times during the bus pickup this morning. So I know his heart is there, and ask you please to pray for his safety today. Okay, we finished last week actually in verse number 28 of chapter 22. As we let's see here. Well, how far back we want to go? Verse number 28, he says, And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "I was freeborn." And of course, we likened that just very rapidly to our freedom in America. If you were born free, praise the Lord. If you came here and became free, praise the Lord. But we need to remember there was a great price paid for our freedom, our physical freedom in America. And we're still paying that price, and that price will probably go up again. And so we need to pray for our nation, pray for our nation's leaders. I don't fear a war with Iran nearly as much as I fear a war within the United States. If we end up having some kind of a civil war because of people running their mouths, and really that's what it is, they're running their mouths, lying and one thing or another. And I'm not blaming that on Democrats or Republicans. I think there's enough lying to go around on both sides. And we need to understand that that causes problems and strife and could cause an inter-conflict. And the Bible testifies that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we need to understand that today. And so we need to pray for our nation. And then we liken also being born free to the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus. And certainly that was at great price, not to us. Not to us was it a great price, but to our Savior it was a great price. He gave everything he had that we might have life. And so the Apostle Paul uses that to speak to him, to speak to this Roman captain, this chief captain that was working with him. Verse number 29, "Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them." I see here something, too, that reminded me of a lot of people I see today. We find that this chief captain had Paul bound. He had him tied up. Thongs is the word that's used in the scriptures to talk. They didn't have handcuffs then, I guess, so they used thongs and they bound him. And then the Bible says in verse number 29 that this chief captain was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. The Bible says he's afraid. He doesn't say he's afraid. The Bible says he's afraid. And yet he put off doing anything about it until the next day. When God brings us under conviction of something, to put it off is just playing games. And so here, this man is afraid. He knew that Paul was a Roman. He knew he had bound him. And so he waits till tomorrow to do anything about it. How foolish it is. And yet, we play that Mexican game that I talked about last week, mañana. We want to wait till tomorrow. And the Bible says that today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of confession of sin. And so we need to understand the necessity of moving. Well, in verse number 30, he wanted to know the truth, and so he loosens Paul from his bands and commands the chief priest. Now they're going to have court, and so we find that he's going to have this trial situation, not an official court, but a trial situation, wanting to find out exactly why Paul is bound. In verse number 1 of chapter 23, "And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. The high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and the resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. We'll stop there for our time and ask God's blessing on the Word of God today. Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know where we're at. You know what we're doing. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we try to decipher from this portion of Scripture that which would be pertinent for us today, that which we could use in our lives in the future. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to examine our lives in the light of the Scriptures and allow you to make what corrections that you want to make and make them as quickly as you want to make them. Lord, it seems kind of foolish that this chief captain would know that he was wrong and even fear for what he had done and then not do anything for overnight to correct the situation and to try to make it right, try to alleviate the problem as much as possible. I pray, Father, you'd help us to examine our hearts in relationship to that thought. And I pray, Father, the victory would be ours. Help us today. Glorify yourself. Help Brother Burwell today as he labors. Help again our missionaries and meet every need that they have. We love you today, Lord. Thank you for the folk that are here. Thank you, Father, for a working air conditioner here. We pray that others would soon have theirs fixed. And Lord, thank you that Miss Polly's is working again. Lord, I guess it's not a life and death situation, but it could be in some circumstances. And so we praise you for your goodness to us. Help us to enjoy you and to be appreciative of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a number of things we want to look at here. We'll save that verse for a little bit later. In verse number 1, we find that Paul speaks of a good conscience. A number of times Paul mentions having a good conscience. He talks about that in chapter 24 and verse 16. He talks about it in the book of 2 Corinthians. When he's talking about it in the book of 2 Corinthians, it's in chapter number 1. And so that's early in the time that the Apostle Paul is working with these people. It's early in his second letter. And a good conscience. Now, somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. But our conscience gets defiled. And if we let it be our guide, it's liable to lead us to all kinds of wrong places. But we need to protect our conscience. We need to take care of our conscience. Someone has said that a good conscience makes a good pillow. And I think that's probably a good thought. A good conscience makes for a good pillow. In verse number 2, the high priest Ananias commands him that he should be smitten. And all he had done is claim that he had a good conscience. And so Ananias must have been a little bit under conviction when Paul first got there. Verse number 3, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. So the Apostle Paul could get pretty sharp too, couldn't he? And then he tells him why. He said, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And so the Bible testifies here that Paul says we ought to believe it enough to practice it. I guess James said it this way, we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. To know what the Bible says to do and not to do it just puts us under even more obligation and more conviction. It ought to that we know the Bible. People are going to go to hell that never saw a Bible. And yet we hold it in our hands, we read it, we treat it disrespectfully and one thing or another and then think that everything's going to be hunky-dory. Listen, if we know the truth, we ought to do the truth. And we ought to do that. We ought to, when we say we believe it, we ought to believe it enough to practice it. And then in verse number 5, well, the Bible says in verse 4, they ask the question, revilest thou the high priest, God's high priest? And of course, Paul automatically knows he shouldn't have done that. Paul said, I wish not, brethren, that he was a high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So now we find Paul rebukes himself. You know, the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. Paul here rebukes himself. He said, I shouldn't have done that. The word says I shouldn't have done that. I didn't know who he was. And then I see something else here. I wonder if people have ever said to us, I wish not that he was a Christian. I didn't know that he was a Christian. One would think that the high priest of a people as large in number as the Jews were at that time, a people that were as influential in every aspect as the Jews were that time, you'd have thought that the number one man in charge of them spiritually, you'd have thought you'd been able to tell just by his appearance, his actions, his words, you'd have thought that you could have said, you would have recognized that. And yet the Apostle Paul said, I had no idea. I had no idea. I wonder how many times people have eaten a meal with us, gone for a ride with us, gone for a walk with us, worked with us for a day, a week, a year, a month, whatever. And then sometimes somebody says something to them about us being a Christian, and they said, never had any idea. No idea. It's possible, and it happens. The story is told about a preacher who was preaching a funeral, and he talked very positive about the man. And when they went by to view the bodies, one man says, I don't generally do this, but I've got a suspicion there must be two men in that coffin. Because he had known him for a long time, had no idea that he was a believer, had no idea that he had all these good characteristics that the preacher was talking about him having. Oh, when we put on the name Christian, we put on a lot of responsibility. I mentioned Wednesday night how frustrated I get on the telephone sometimes, and it shames me each time I do that. And praise God, we're getting victory over that. It's not solved yet. I had a deal yesterday where I could have had a spell, and God managed to give me grace in that one. So maybe we're gaining ground, but we need to be careful. People need to be able to recognize us as being believers. And knowing that we're believers, they ought to desire to have what we have, what we manifest to them in a public setting. And so then Paul, we find Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other were Pharisees. And so he cries out and says, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of and resurrection of the dead. I am come in question. And when he did that, now there's a division. And so here Paul uses an old tactic, and it's used by the devil often, and that is divide and conquer. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons it's so important that that within a church we know what we believe based on this book and not on tradition or not what mama said or not what this good friend of ours says. And I'm not against good friends, and we need good friends that know Christ and know the Scriptures, but we need to make sure that the advice that they're giving us is comes from the Word of God and is established by the Word of God. Because if we don't, you're going to believe this, and they're going to believe that, and someone else is going to believe something different, and that division can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause trouble within a church. It can cause trouble within a family. Division can. One believing one thing and one believing something else. It can cause trouble with friendships. One believes one thing and one believes another thing. I find that happens pretty often when a man marries a woman or a man marries a woman over here, and then two friends all of a sudden now. One friend's getting this influence from the wife, and they should, but all of a sudden it causes a distinct difference in what the two men believe, and problems are caused and friendships are scattered and so forth. The devil's good at dividing and conquering. It happens in churches. So we need to be people of one accord. When you read in the first chapters of the book of Acts, the Bible says that all the people gather together in one accord. Boy, there's a power in one accord. And there is a lack of power when we begin to be one believing one thing and another believing something else. We need to keep coming back to the book. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? This has to be our final authority. Amen. And when anything else becomes our final authority, we're going to have problems. Now, when we think of the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, neither angels nor spirit. Somebody said that they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. Yeah. And that might be. If I didn't believe in resurrection, I would be sadder than I am believing in one, I tell you for sure. And so, and of course, they would have, I don't know what they were using for their authority, but the resurrection and life after death and all those things, the Spirit of God, those things are all listed in the Old Testament. So the Sadducees must have been looking at tradition rather than the Scriptures. And then the Bible says that the Pharisees confess that there's both. Now, when you get two differences of opinion, now listen to this, this is deep theology. When you get to two differences of opinion, it's possible that both could be wrong. It's impossible that both can be right. So you say, well, how do you take care of that? You have to come back to the Bible. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? So there's a statement of differences. The Sadducees say there's no resurrection, no angels, no spirit. The Pharisees confess both. And we know that the Pharisees were more correct than the Sadducees were. Nicodemus, remember, was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Bible says. And so this multitude now is divided. And because of their division, it gives Paul an advantage. Paul knew the Scriptures. He knew what people believed. He knew what turned their crank. And he used that, and it caused an advantage for him. And then we go into the portion of Scripture we looked at last Wednesday night. We found that Paul, of course, is still in jail. Verse number 11, let me just give you that short outline. The Lord stood by him in verse number 11, and the Lord will stand by us if we stand by his word. And then he speaks to him. He says, be of good cheer. Thou hast testified as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So not only did the Lord stand by him, but the Lord spoke to him. The Lord wanted to encourage him. And then we find that down through verse number 25, we find that the Lord secured him. And we find that there are 470 people helping Paul against 40 people that had promised that they weren't going to eat anything or drink anything until Paul was dead. After service, as Mrs. Weaver mentioned, that when Daniel had chosen the pulse rather than the meat of the wine of the king, they ended up being 10 times wiser. Well, here's God showing himself strong again, over 10 times the protection on the Apostle Paul as it was against the Apostle Paul. I think of the story, I think it was Elisha, wasn't it? And they sent out people to get him, and the young man that was with Elisha looked out and he saw this immense army. He goes back and he tells his boss, he said, we're in trouble. And the answer was, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. And he prayed that God would open his eyes, and he saw this massive army in the heavens that was there to help them. And thank God today we need to understand that when we are in the right, and we're in the right when we're agreeing with the Bible, when we're in the right, we have all the power of heaven behind us. Now, God may not give his power and exert his power in just exactly the way we think he ought to, but his power is still behind us when we're going by the book. And we need to understand that tonight. Father, we thank you today for this book. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you still have ways to do things. You still have a rule book to go by. And Father, we thank you that you honor those people that honor you with the book. And I pray, Father, we'd always be that, we'd do that. And Father, another thing you just reminded me of, when we preach the truth, we're supposed to preach it with love. And I understand that. And I pray, Lord, we'd practice that. I pray, Father, that we would have grace in our lips. I pray, Father, that our lives would show grace and mercy. And Father, our actions towards other people would show the same. We love you today. Pray that you be with the preaching service. Help Brother Joe again today, Lord, as he's out and about. And others, Lord, that are traveling. There's a number of them now. We ask you, Lord, to keep them safe and bring them back to us promptly. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. Excuse me, I'm going to go get my wife.